you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We have 160 little waters. Some way or another, we bought the water and nobody knew about it. So, but we want you to drink and share all those you can. In the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 29 and verse 11, we're going to start. I want to speak this morning on worship His Majesty. 1 Chronicles 29 and 11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all men that is in heaven and in earth, for all that is in heaven and earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Isn't that beautiful? I really like that verse. I like that it has my my theme of majesty, and we're going to go into that in just a minute. But let's pray. Precious Jesus, Holy Father, Spirit of the living God, minister to us today. We need a touch. We need, Lord, that strength. And we need to take a moment here and just realize how great Thou art. In all Your glory and all Your majesty, Lord, we thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for all that You've done for us. But we want, Lord, to focus on how great You are. And in a way we're going to receive back from our realization, it's going to build our faith, strengthen our prayers, and Lord Jesus, just elevate our praise and worship. We honor You right now, and we praise You, Jesus. Amen. If you see a flower you like, take a flower home with you. That one's saved. That's off the table on the piano. But any of these, you're welcome to take with you. How nice they would look in at your house. And you can water them and keep them for at least a few days. So I want to go from 1 Chronicles to Revelations. We've been going to Revelations a lot, but it really serves this message. Revelations chapter 4. In between the history of the church and my favorite chapter 5. And kind of the revelation of Jesus and His greatness. Revelation 4 is the throne room of heaven. I want us to look and see how big and how marvelous, how wonderful. I don't think there's a descriptive adjective that I want to leave off the table. Anything you can think, I want you to see it. I want you to feel it and believe it. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. When we see that door, it's time to go in. Because that's a beautiful opportunity. The first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me. And I've heard people say, oh, that trumpet's when the Lord's trumpet shall sound and call us on to in the rapture. I could accept that very, very well. The voice speaking as a trumpet sound, saying, come up here, and I'll show you things which must take place after this. Come up here. Someday the Lord's going to say, arise, my love and fair one, and come away. And we're going to say, okay, we're ready. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven. Can you imagine a throne? I'd like to say imagine it, you know, up here somewhere. Above, behind. I'll even stand out of the way just a bit so you can see clearly that throne of God. It's big. It's elevated. Everyone can see it. So there's a throne and one that sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone. And in appearance there was like a jasper and sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in the appearance of an emerald. I like emeralds. They're beautiful shade of green. Other stones represent greens and reds. I like precious gemstones. I really like diamonds a lot. I think they're so pretty. I'd like to have a handful. And I've seen them on TV where people steal them, and there's like a pound and a half of diamonds, and my goodness, they're worth zillions of dollars. But they're just pretty. But I want you to know that heaven is going to be prettier than anything we've seen down here. And our God is so radiant and beautiful. Don't make me look back to that brother from San Diego area that said Jesus was ugly. Oh man, I was about ready to rub him the wrong way, because Jesus is beautiful. Lovely Galilean, thou hast conquered me, and God is glorious and beautiful. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the throne I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their head. We sing holy, 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 and they were taking those crowns and laying them before the feet of Jesus. Matter of fact, all the songs. I didn't tell Audrey what to sing, nor Becky. Let them lead what's on their heart. And what's on my heart is to elevate the greatness of our God. Indeed, how great. Indeed, how marvelous. How wonderful. But there's 24 thrones around the throne. And on those thrones, these representing the Old and New Testaments, and they have crowns of gold. So if you wear gold and white, you're in vogue with the fashion of heaven. It's going to be beautiful. And from the throne, proceeding lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Don't you just love fireworks? We used to play baseball, softball in Texas. And in the field, we'd be there throwing the ball and running after it and all that stuff. And out in the distance would be lightning. And it was so beautiful. Out in the distance. Beautiful. We were coming through Flagstaff, Arizona when we were moving home, and we saw the lightning in the hills. I said, wonder what it would be like to be right in that. And it wasn't too long to where Bob was driving a truck in front of us, and there was a lightning bolt that hit the back of that truck and nearly blinded all of us. And I thought, you know, I just as soon look at that beautiful lightning out there in the distance. But out of the throne, there's lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. See a lot of light, a lot of noise, a lot of life. And then before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around about the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in the back. Now, I have to be honest, that's kind of freaky. All those eyes all over everywhere. Seeing everything, nothing goes unseen. The four living creatures, full of eyes, they look strange, but they have a great purpose. In front and in back, and the first living creature was like a lion. I'm not going to go into the representation, just like we're not going to get into the color of those precious stones, but We're going to read this for you. I want you to see greatness in God. Like a lion, the second like a calf, and the third living creature, the face of a man. The fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders, they're not going to be denied. They're going to be a part of, amen? So they fall down before Him who sits on the throne, and they worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." I like that in the New King James, okay? But I love it more in the Old King James, where it says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy." Seems like I've got the same rendition. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Your pleasure they are and were created. Thou art worthy." We sing that as well. But I want us to understand and to know today that our God, our great and majestic God, is worthy to be praised. You say, "Well, how long?" However long you want to praise Him, He's worthy of that. The word majesty means, in the Webster's, regal, lofty, or stately dignity, supreme greatness or authority, a title of a sovereign. Majesty, out of the New Testament, the book of Luke, means sublimity, grandeur, glory, magnificence, superbness, and greatness. If there's anything else you can imagine, that's what we ought to ascribe unto our Lord, who is so worthy of all of our praise. I believe we owe it to God, and I believe we owe it to ourselves, every now and again, just to realize His majesty, His greatness, how great He is. There's a song that Andre Crouch wrote called "My Tribute." And in my heart, it should have been called "To God Be the Glory," because that's the chorus of it. But it is what it is, and I'm not going to argue with the guy that wrote it. "My Tribute." The voices of 1,000 angels, and I saw someone singing it, and they said 1,000,000 angels. The voices of 1,200,000 million angels cannot express my gratitude. All that I can ever have or be, I owe it to the Lord. Brother Dixon pastored here a few years ago, and he didn't stay long, but he was here for a while, and he preached a lot on the wall, I believe, the out of Ezra, Nehemiah scripture. And Brother Dixon posted something September the 2nd. I've got a calendar right here. That was last Sunday. Thank you, Audrey, for the calendar. September the 2nd. And he said, "My God is so big, so strong, so mighty. There's nothing that my God cannot do." I thought, well, I got to write that down, because that's the way I'm thinking this week. Amen is at the end of it. Amen. The reason I wanted to write that down is because the Lord laid this on my heart last week before Sunday, and I thought, my goodness, I saw that probably Monday or so. And I knew that we had the memorial service, the funeral for Wadey, and so I was trying to put a lot into that and minister. But I thought, wow, that's a great quote, and I want to capture it. Majesty, beyond kind of the ordinary, you know, people spend so much time trying to make the Lord like them, and just like there was an actor named Robert Blake. I don't know if he's still living or not. No, I don't know. He played Beretta years ago in a TV show, and he said, "Well, I've got this thing, and I call God Louis," and I'm thinking, God's not Louis, and who are you to give God a name? People get so twisted in their trying to understand God. God is who He is. He is the I am that I am. Do you see any Louis in that? I see no Louis. I see Almighty God. I see God the Father. I see God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And He deserves not, we don't need to humanize God. We need to glorify God. We don't need to bring Him to our level. We need to thank Him that He's above us and that He can lift us up when we need lifting up. I want to read another scripture, and then, depending on the grace of God, I'll read several, talking about majesty. But this one is one we've read recently. It's a good one, Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. And you're familiar with this scripture. It says, "Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms. Speaking psalms. Songs. Or the Word of God in song. However you want to interpret that. And hymns. Hymns. Debbie's wanting to get updates on these hymn books just because, well, they've been through a lot of singing, right? And I don't know if we can find some. Perhaps we'll replace these good old messenger hymnals. And because the church is so electronically advanced, they're not available. Well, that's what I'm saying. Because of all the gizmos we've got, we put the songs up on the board for you. But these hymns, and anything can be a hymn, if it brings glory and honor to the Lord. And then spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In Texas, when we were preaching, the pastor had gone to Hawaii, and I was preaching, and one service on a Sunday morning, a sister stood and gave a message in tongues singing. I forget who did it. Who gave the message? Sister Lytle, and her daughter-in-law, Marcy, stood and sang a message, the prophecy, the interpretation. I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. But see, that's what the Spirit of God is able to do in us all. Singing and making melody in your heart, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. How many of you have your Bibles looking at that? Okay, you don't have to raise your hand. That's okay if you don't have it. You notice I'm going to not say verse 22. I am not reading one word because that's evil. I will not. I made up my mind. I had it printed and I erased it because it doesn't pertain. Submitting, though, to one another in the fear of God. Singing. Making melody. There's something important about singing in a song. Now, I can't sing any more like I used to. I can still kind of croak, and I'll croak as long as I have to. Jack Hayford writes in his book, Majesty, He'd much prefer immortal, invisible God, only wise. How many's ever heard that song? I have not. To I Fly Away, O Glory. Jack Hayford's written lots of songs, and he's a very sophisticated preacher, writer, composer. In the book Majesty, every chapter starts with a different one of his songs, and of course, the whole book is about the Majesty song that he wrote, Worship His Majesty. I'll read that to you in just a minute. But I thought, well, okay, I've never heard of that one. I might be good with I'll Fly Away, O Glory. Every one of us are drawn to a different type of song. And maybe the Lord will give us a song that will be our own song. He also said, blessed assurance is more, inspiring to him than Little Brown Church in the Vale. On that, I agree with Dr. Hayford. I like blessed assurance as well. But worship comes from the word worth-ship, giving God the honor that he is worth. And we've read several scriptures speaking of that. And it's, Schweigert's commentary said, worship is who we are and praise is what we do. And I kind of understand that in that we need to realize and open up to how great God is and give him his due. Thanksgiving also plays a part of that. Worship is used 24 times in the book of Revelation. Worship. 11 towards God. I wish I'd have stopped with 24 times. I thought it was all good, but no. 9 times is toward the Antichrist. The Antichrist shouldn't get any worship at all, but he will. And 2 towards the devil or demons. And then 2 towards misguided, 2 that were misguided toward angels. We need a song in our heart. And the Bible says we're going to get a new song. And there is something about the dynamic of a song and us singing it. Christmas is right around the corner. You say it's just September, I know, but you watch and see. If in the next few weeks you'll probably be hearing Christmas music in stores because they really want to get you to buy, buy, buy. But and those Christmas songs I like. Remember years ago, Dr. Laura said, you know, you can say what you will. She was Christian and she went to Jewish because she found out some of her, you know, her family was Jewish. But she said, the Christians got the songs. I've got to give it to them. And she's right about that. We Christians have Christmas music. We have hymns. We have new songs and choruses. And it's all good. So there needs to be a song. Right now, my song is, He Heals the Brokenhearted and Sets... No, can't even remember. I listen to this every day, but I can't remember the name of it. But it's by Kim Coleman, and I think there's something like 27,000 views. But then you look at, what's her name? Gracie Larson Brummel, is it? Brumley, that's it. She's got the Mercy song, and that's over 2 million views. So I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of people on YouTube being blessed by these songs. We need a song. We need something that'll stir us and empower us and draw us to the Lord. We need to sing. You say, well, I can't sing. It doesn't matter. You need to sing. You need to have an expression of God of how great you are. Aren't you just tickled when we get to sing great songs in church and we get to honor the Lord and we get to praise and give him glory? He's worthy. He's worthy. Now, going back to Majestic, I'm going to be in trouble with all of it. I have 100 scriptures to read. I'll read a few. Majesty. I hadn't been to Yosemite ever, and then Debbie and I went a few years ago, 2015 or 16, and probably 2016. And we went into Mariposa, and then we went in that gate, and we looked up and I saw this big mountain. I thought, wow, that is so amazing. I said, this must be Half Dome. It wasn't Half Dome. Half Dome's down the road a little bit. This was El Capitan. And it is so big and so beautiful. I tell you what, we pulled the car over and I thought, man, it's almost breathtaking to see this. Then we went around the way and we came back a few months later in April, around Evan's birthday, and we had already seen the Yosemite Falls, but it wasn't like it was in April. That Yosemite Falls was magnificent. The water coming out of that was absolutely amazing. And I was thinking, wow. And it was cool, and the mist hit you in the face. Beautiful. We go to Shasta, or we used to a lot, and it was amazing to be on the Shasta Lake and look up and see the mountain with the snow still on it, even though it's 114 degrees on the lake, and you know the water's 80 degrees, and there's snow on the mountain. And we'd go down the McLeod Arm, and there was this mountain of granite. That's where the caves are that people would go into, and beautiful, absolutely amazing, so inspiring, awesome, majestic. And different governments put on awesome displays of majesty. The Blue Angels come to the Bay Area pretty close to now, what, October, I think, sometime, and they do their show, and isn't that beautiful? Isn't that great? When the Naval Air Station in Alameda was open, we'd go over there and we'd go on any boat that was there. Didn't matter what it was. Oh, that was a big deal. And then the planes would fly over. And one time we were on an elevator bringing us up, and a plane went over and hit the sound barrier and pop like that. And I thought, oh my goodness, we're gone. But it was just a sonic boom. But it's majestic to see what governments can do. And the royal weddings in England and all of that. I was going to look up if we contribute anything to that, but it doesn't matter. It's beautiful. But our God is more beautiful than all that this earth can do. This earth can put on the most glorious display, but our God is greater than that. And we owe it sometimes just to kind of settle down and think on Him. Meditate on Him. People go crazy with meditation. I'm going to tell you what. You got to watch what you meditate on. You really do. Because you open up the door to the devil, he'll get in there. And people think, oh, I'm doing this thing. And it's, you know, it's nothing spiritual. It's just, you know, some sort of physical. No, it's not. It's a spiritual thing. You're opening yourself up to the wrong thing. But when you think on the Lord, oh my goodness, it's such good for us, such good for us. Job 36 and 24, remember to magnify His work of which men have sung. And then Psalm 29 and 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Psalms 45, 4, and your majesty ride prosperously because of truth. I like that. Majesty is enabled by truth, humility, and righteousness. And in your right hand shall teach you, and your right hand, rather, shall teach you. 93 and 1, Psalm says, the Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded Himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. 96:6, honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Aren't you glad we have majesty in the house of God? The beautiful place that the Lord has given us to worship. The beautiful place the Lord has given us to fellowship. The beautiful place where we gather in. And thank God we live in a country where we're protected and we can have church and be left alone. Psalms 104 and 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, You are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. Psalms 145 and 5, I will meditate on the glorious splendor of Your majesty and Your wondrous works. These scriptures are a bit like I pack for a trip. When I go on a trip, I throw in extra things in case I need it. We could be going for 2 days, and I've got enough for 2 weeks. Why? Well, just in case. And believe me, I cut this list down by a third. We're almost finished. Micah 5:4, and he shall stand and feed his flock in strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. Luke 9:43, and they were all amazed at the majesty of God. Jesus teaching, preaching, healing. And while everyone marveled at all these things, he said to his disciples. You know what he said to his disciples? He said, I'm going to have to go through some tough times, and I'm going to leave. I'm going to die on the cross. But his majesty, Jesus was thinking, okay, people may be amazed at this majesty, but I'm going to go to the cross, and you wait and see what the majesty is beyond that. Hebrews 1:3, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of